Thank you for that. And yeah, Exploring Membership is really just about what does it look like to become a part of Monument Church? Perhaps floating here a bit and want to explore more. I'll just yell at you. No, I've got you. All right. You got me? All right. Excellent. Well, we are continuing our Open Doors series. My name is Eric Santiago. I'm one of the pastors here. If I have not met you, I'd love to. And we are really excited about this series that we've been doing that comes kind of out of the great commission that Jesus gave us to go into all the earth and proclaim the gospel, baptize believers, make disciples. And the title is based on this 1 Corinthians 16:9, where the Apostle Paul tells the Corinthians that a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. So there's tons of opportunity, and then there's pushback. And we've been hearing stories from you, and I want to keep collecting those stories and telling those stories over the coming weeks. So can you please boldly come and tell us about your open door stories? Because we've said to people, oh, here's an open door. And this isn't like, it doesn't have to be cataclysmic. It can be like, I stepped out a little bit. Like if we all step out just a little bit, I trust that God is actually going to move in that. Somehow he wants to partner with us, but he wants to see some initiative. He wants us to see these open doors around us and step through him. So today is a bit of a unique installment in Open Doors because we're actually going to be appointing deacons. Yeah, this is actually more exciting than you think. You're like, okay, what else you got? No, this is a massive moment in the life of Monument Church, actually because it was a massive moment in the early church, and we're going to look at that in just a second. But it actually drops nicely into this series because, as we'll see, it has everything to do with the spread of the gospel, the advance of the kingdom through God's church. So let's jump right into Acts 6. I read this a couple of weeks ago, and I want to read it again because this is kind of our seminal verse, our passage for this thing of deacons. It says, now in these days, as the early church was growing, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12, the apostles, summoned the full number of the disciples, everybody, and said, it's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. I want to pause right there because I can only imagine with the thousands joining this church, these guys are like, whoa, I mean, this is a lot, and now there's stuff that we have to deal with. It says, and what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon, and Parmenas and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Amazing, this passage opens with the disciples were increasing in number. It ends with, 7 verses later, the number of disciples multiplied greatly. They're experiencing massive growth as the gospel is prospering. This movement, started by Jesus, was on fire through the people who carried it forward, his church. But this was a significant sort of needle scratch moment, right? It says the disciples were increasing in number, but conflict arose. I love this quote by this old Baptist pastor. I say old, I suppose I'm getting to be old pretty soon. I just say this young Baptist pastor. He says, where there is healthy life, there is growth. Where there is healthy growth, there are problems. Where there are problems, there are God-given solutions. Where there is a God-given solution, there is even greater growth. He's characterizing this passage. See, oftentimes in sort of human or worldly terms, when there's problems, things fall apart and people start shooting each other. But actually, in God's church, It's different. And so important was unity in the body of Christ, they stopped everything. They gathered everybody and said, okay, pause. I mean, can you imagine? This thing's growing. They're excited about what's happening. Can you imagine being a part of something like this? Granted, it was dangerous. They were under persecution, but it was gaining momentum. And one version of this is the apostles go, let's just sweep that under the rug. And they're like, no. Unity is so important to us. We are not going to just sweep this under the rug, because the church's commission is to proclaim the gospel of peace. We're a community of ambassadors bringing primarily peace wherever we go. And how does a group of people bring peace when they're in strife? So unity is vital. And it's vital for this reason. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. How do we do that? We'd be silly to do that if there's disunity. And I would argue that disunity isn't just the absence of strife. Our unity isn't just the absence of strife. Unity is all of us working together like a finely tuned, I would say machine, but body is the appropriate metaphor. Imagine if your organs were warring against one another. You can't do much of anything. And that lack of health would lead to death. So this is kind of a small issue in the grand scheme of things, but often strife and conflict are about small issues. Yet the apostles knew not only to address it, but to enlist others to help. I can only imagine the sheer magnitude of what was happening in this movement, and it was just 12 of them, and they needed help. We can imagine, and we know from the epistles, that many others were enlisted to aid in the work of the gospel, right? We know this. We see this. There are servants throughout the New Testament that are called out by name. And here's the thing. Monument is growing. Not nearly on this scale, I'll say. But one of the things we as elders often feel is we need help. We need help. And actually, we are so grateful for the many who are helping. You are helping, Monument. This is a church of people who raise their hands. And we are grateful for that. But as we look to the early church, we want to follow its model, right? And this is not prescriptive. It doesn't have to be seven men, and we don't have this particular issue, but the body of Christ is full of gifts and abilities that we want to mobilize for the sake of his commission to us. This is why we study it closely. And it's cool. I've had a number of people, over the last maybe year say to me, oh my gosh, what God is doing at Monument is amazing. This place is going to explode. And that's met with some sense of awe in my mind. And maybe that's true. But we are growing, and it would appear we may continue to grow. Are we ready for that? Because we all have to answer that question. Are we ready for that? Can we steward that growth that will make it a good thing? Because numerical increase in a church doesn't have to be good or go well, actually. I think for us to see this go like we hope it will, it's going to take everybody. I mean, in fact, some of you are kind of looking around going, I kind of like it this size. Let's stay like this. Right? There's a certain comfort level. And I get that. But then it's like, but what does God want? What is his vision and future for this church? And even if that's a bit uncomfortable, oh, it's exciting. Because whatever he wants, it's what we want. Right? We can start to lean into our own preferences, but actually God wants to do something in this church. I don't know what it is. We're finding our way. We're following the breadcrumbs, as it were. But actually, advancing the kingdom is imperative, and if we are healthy, we will grow, and we need to prepare for that. So let's not just get comfortable. Let's engage with what God is doing. And growth requires service and leadership, as well as people to help mobilize the body of Christ, to deal with issues, to maintain unity. And as I've said before, unity is not just the absence of strife. It is us working together, helping one another in this mission we share. That's what our deacons will help us do. But it's what we hope everyone does, honestly, to take the initiative to do that. God's calling every single person in this room to participate in what he's doing. Lucindy Kimberly had this image that she shared with me, and there was a lot to it. It's beautiful, but I'll just share a little snapshot. She just had an image of all of us building together bricks, as it were, each one of us a brick in his temple of living stone. She said, and I saw people helping others come and join and find their place in the wall. Not only is God calling us to take initiative for our own lives, but he's actually calling us to help others come and find their place. What does that look like? Oh, it's dynamic. It's exciting. And again, I'm trusting that not only will deacons, but other leaders who are already in place, other servants who are already investing in the body of Christ will just continue to see this happen. I want to read the qualifications for a deacon because these are important. It says in 1 Timothy 3, verses 8 through 13, deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first, then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Let deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves. What a beautiful reward that is. I don't even know what that means, but beautiful, gain a good standing for themselves. This is what the deacons can expect, and also great confidence in the faith that is in Jesus Christ. 2 weeks ago, we presented these candidates so that people could let us know if they saw any reason that they were not qualified. And no one raised an objection that any of them was not qualified to serve in this role. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for honest conversations around these things. As a family, this is how we maintain unity, that we talk about these things. We don't keep these things to ourselves. But nobody has been seen to be unqualified. But we didn't want to just know if they were unqualified. We wanted to know if you would receive them by helping them and following them in their example. Yeah, following them in their example. In 1 Corinthians 16, 15 through 16, listen to this. It's right at the end of the letter, and Paul says this, again, calling out specific individual people. He says, now I urge you, brothers, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Be subject to such as these, and to every fellow worker and laborer. I love that last part, because you start to go, okay, he's creating a hierarchy here. Here's the pyramid and how it works. He says, no. Be subject to every fellow worker and laborer. Ephesians says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We think very hierarchically. Okay, where do I fit in the pecking order? We all fit where Jesus fat. I mean, PH fat. We all fit where Jesus fit, under everyone else. He said, I came not to be served, but to serve. And so anytime we start getting into human, worldly, hierarchical thinking, just think of how he thought about it. This isn't about who's the boss. Is there a new sheriff in town? It's like, how do I serve? How do I be subject to those who are modeling what I also want to be? That's how we work as a family, as a kingdom dynamic organization. The church is the most exciting organization on the planet. It really is. But think of all the things that companies and corporations are doing, and it doesn't even hold a candle to our mission and purpose. But this is how we carry it out. Paul says, be subject to every fellow worker and laborer. But let me commend these deacons to you. We're going to bring them up here in just a moment. I'm going to talk about a few of them, and then Trav is going to talk about a few of them in a little bit. He and I are tag-teaming today. But John and Lori Garrett are some of the deacons. I know, you can clap for those wonderful people. So, this is just the expression of who they are. They lead 4 small groups right now between them. And that's just, they just keep raising their hand. They're just incredible. Where are you? There you are. They're just continuing to see what it is that God wants to do them. They've led serving ministries and hospitality and set up and tear down. And it's not just that, they constantly open their home. I mean, the Exploring Membership Lunch is at their house today because that is just what they do. I mean, Lori is a mean cook. I'm still waiting for another invitation to go have some of this ridiculous Italian food that she cooks. But really, it's just amazing that they love to serve people who are going through difficulty or some transition in their lives. I mean, they have really gone after the weak, the marginalized, and those people haven't just come over for a meal, they lived in their home. They have just washed the feet of many who need the love of Jesus. When we first spoke about becoming deacons, John said, God told us Monument is our assignment. I was like, oh, I love that. I feel that way too, but I didn't have those words. Can I use that? This is my assignment. What's your assignment? Is Monument your assignment? If it is, what's your assignment here within Monument? He actually wants to tease that out. He wants to fulfill our lives by rightly placing us in the body of Christ. They've devoted themselves to the service of the saints, as that 1 Corinthians 16 says. So grateful for you guys in that. Our biblical conviction, and I want to just give a side note here, is that women can serve as deacons in the church. Gender in church these days is a big, hot topic. I get it. And this is not a clear issue in Scripture, frankly. I've been considering this and studying this for many years. But we as elders believe it's not only permissible, but beneficial for women to serve in this capacity. A quick search online will make arguments for and against by very smart people, very godly people. So if that's not your conviction, I understand. This is where we have landed for a Monument, and we're very excited about it. We love to see mothers and fathers actually modeling this ministry. And what's interesting, too, is one simple matter is that in 1 Timothy 3:8, it says wives in the ESV, right, talking about deacons. But actually, in the NIV, it says women. Scholars debate this. Oh, is it wives? Or are they talking about women who are deacons? Our conviction is that women will serve in this way. Patience Normoyle. Many of you know Patience. Yeah, you can clap for Patience. One of our young adults who's been at Monument the least amount of time of all the deacons, actually. But man, has distinguished herself as having such a great desire to serve you. She wants to serve you, especially in the young adult community here. And when there was a need for someone to step into serving in young adults, she threw up her hand. And by character and maturity, it was clear that she was qualified and wanted to learn and grow in how to become a more effective minister of the gospel. And here's the thing. I don't often use the word leader when it comes to talking about people in church, because actually the Bible doesn't. It far more often uses laborer, fellow worker. See, that's not hierarchical language. That's service language. That's the language of the Bible. I like that. That's us. Patience hasn't tried to exert power. Where are you, Patience? Yeah, there she is. She hasn't tried to exert power in this role, but has humbly sought to discern what God is doing and help to really support us as we shepherd the flock. So grateful for you, Patience. You're doing a great job, honestly. Like I said, travel speak about some others in a moment. I'll just finish my little bit with Charlie and Lisa. Yeah. When our previous administrator left, Beth Kratz, many of you know her, I asked Lisa and Charlie if they would be willing to help like on Sundays, you know, we're trying to kind of figure out, all right, where do we go from here? And Lisa said, well, I'd be happy to pray about that. She comes back like 30 seconds later and she goes, I asked Charlie and he said, what do we need to pray about? That's the need, we'll do it. I was like, Charlie, can we have more like you? Really, just that yes. Is there a reason I can't just say yes here? If there isn't, I'm going to say yes. At that time, it wasn't like there was even money involved. It was just like, what can I do? He had just retired from the police force. What a gift to us that he had just retired. Then he was working another job that in order to serve Monument more, I mean, he was working for the commanders. It was a pretty cool job. And he quit that job to serve us more. Both of them have just been incredible. Lisa works full time, but they are this dynamic duo. I'm like, well, who am I hiring? She goes, just both. Their email is swinfords@monumentchurch.com. I don't even know who I'm talking to. It's like Wonder Twin powers. But honestly, it's been extraordinary to have you guys. So I just want to say, you know, like what they do behind the scenes, it's too much to even go into. But I'm challenged. Can I challenge you? Can you just say yes like they did? Just yes. Like they're involved in a lot of stuff. If you're going to hear a request, an ask, it'll probably come through them. Can you just say yes if you can? If there's no reason that you can't just say it, just say yes. They are modeling that. They're calling us to that. I'm excited for what God will continue to do through them. So I'd like to invite the deacons up and actually the elders and wives as well. We're going to do this kind of in the middle. We're not landing with this. Part of that is because several of our deacons have to serve. John's got to leave on a plane. And so we're like, you know what? Let's do it right in the middle. And then we'll follow up with some things to follow. We've got some exciting updates and stuff about the property, our location, and those kinds of things. But can I invite all of you guys to come up? You can put up the list there. Thanks. That's okay, Rebecca. Beautiful. Good job. Yeah. Yeah. Let's give these guys a hand. I also... What a crew. I also want to say real quick, you know... So many servants here that have done such an incredible work in the shadows, in the nooks and crannies of Monument Church. And somehow I felt God say, acknowledge people who have gone from not having a title to having a title to not having a title, and they just kept serving. And for that, I want to acknowledge Corvi and Vilma McGordon. Yeah. All of these people were elders along with their wives at one point. Rebecca and Greg Wilson were elders in their church, and they've just continued to serve. Mike and Cindy Brock. Mike served as a pastor in his previous church. These roles are costly. You guys have done an amazing job. And whether you've had the title or not, you continue to serve in powerful ways. And then also I have Andrew and Cassie Pennington. I don't know if they're here today, but they're others. But on behalf of them, Carissa. I was riding my mountain bike and I felt God say, acknowledge them. And I'm like, why? I'm not that I didn't want to, but why? He said, because they didn't have a title. They had a title. They didn't have a title. They just have kept serving. Bless you guys. Thank you for modeling that for all of us. Okay. Now we're going to get into it. We're actually going to start with, Pat's going to give a bit of a charge. Pat, a servant-hearted guy who would serve anywhere in the church, from picking up trash to preaching. And we just wanted Pat to charge this group of deacons.
Yeah, it's an honor to serve with you guys. And just even considering... When they asked me to charge, I was like, I don't even know what that means. I mean, I know what it means, but I've never done it. But it was interesting talking to Michael Combs and Eric Simmons yesterday, and I was like, hey, we're setting in deacons tomorrow. And they were like, yes. And that kind of took me by surprise, because I know, you know, when you step into serving, you just don't, like, if people congratulate you, you know, John was saying, it's hard to understand what I'm being congratulated for. But it strengthens the church. And when I was thinking about how I would charge, for some reason, I went to Mark 6 and just remembering when Jesus was feeding the 5,000. Because there's expressions of God's love, and without the deacons, it's a partial expression. So when Jesus came to, he saw the crowds coming and encroaching on, he had compassion. And the first thing he noticed was they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he started to shepherd them, and he was teaching them the word. And so God has given us those who he has called as shepherds to teach the word. But that's partial expression of love. But immediately after that, some of the disciples noticed, hey, these people are getting hungry. We need to send them out. And Jesus said, you get them something to eat. And that struck me was like, here's the second expression of love. It's mercy. It's seeing need and meeting it. And you guys are those who have identified need and haven't said, someone needs to go help these people. You guys have done that. And I love the picture of the bricks, because as God is building this church, each brick has some kind of identification. When people walk in, they read what's on that brick. And one is, you know, it may be that they're known by God and loved by God, that the word of God is stirred for them to grab a hold of and love. But the other thing is, I was thinking this very thing with the disciples that should be written down on each and every one is, I see it. I see the need, and I will go and feed them. And so my charge to you is to embrace this call with us to establish in this church that everyone that comes in, it would be written on them that they not only see need, but they will go and meet that need. They will give them something to eat. So that would be, I know it's a simple charge, but it's nothing small, because it's not just for this church. It will be for generations likely that will read these bricks, that when they come in, they're moved to the bottom, and these things are written on them. So join us in this, and it's a labor, but not just you're doing this. It's not, you're not called just to do these things. You are called to invite us all into this, and how we can see it, identify it, and meet those needs.
Thank you, Pat. Very good. So we are going to, as they did, lay hands on these people. If maybe we could get you guys to cuddle a little bit closer here, and we're just going to have a couple of people pray. Pray for this group as we lay hands on them. Maybe if you could turn out so we can see your beautiful faces. And Heather's going to pray first, and then Peter is going to close.
1 Timothy 3:13 says, and this is the New King James Version, "For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and a great boldness in the faith which is in Jesus Christ." Lord, this morning we pray for these servant-minded folks, that their labor would be like bricks in the foundation of this church. Please, Lord, give them the confidence and boldness that you have promised in your word to know how to serve this church and this family. And Lord, we just pray that you protect them and their families as they step into serving in this capacity. May you multiply the time they are investing, bless their efforts, and show them favor for their faithfulness.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Peter.
Lord, this morning we are freshly reminded of your promise that you will build your church, because we have seen your hand in building this church through all the highs and lows that you have brought us through. Titus 2:14 says, "You gave yourself for us to redeem us and to purify for yourself a people for your own possession who are zealous for good works." Today we recognize and empower some of those who have demonstrated that zealousness for good works here at Monument. These have served in silence behind the scenes, doing what needs to be done. Not only have they set up chairs and moved sound equipment, but they have prayed for the sick, they have encouraged the downhearted, they have preached the gospel to the lost, and they have sought to be the hands and feet of Jesus wherever they are. So this morning, Lord, we ask you to anoint them and empower them to do what you have called them to do as deacons. We thank you for the promise in 1 Peter 4:11 that says, "Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies." So Lord, give them your strength to each one of them, that they may serve with more effectiveness, more discernment, more creativity, that our church may be built into what you desire it to be. And Lord, we pray for the rest of us also, recognizing that we are all called to serve. Lord, make us a church of servants, because you showed us by example the importance of being a servant. We ask all this so that the church will be built, our people will be cared for, and our community will be reached with the gospel. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, amen.
Amen. Yeah, Guys, bless you. We love you. We thank you. We receive you. And now go forth, proclaim the gospel with everything you do, with everything you say. We are with you. Let's give it up for these deacons. This is not the last time that we will appoint deacons or elders, of course, as we continue to grow, but we're pausing for a special moment to really make something of it. And now Trav is going to say a few words also in this vein.
The appointment of deacons is representative. It's a charge to all of us. Eric already said this, so I kind of want to double down on that bit for my piece here. So this is our exhortation to you. And by the way, Eric and I are speaking, but we as elders put our heads together. What do we want to share with the church in this moment? So this is very representative of what we believe the Lord is speaking to you. This is a momentous occasion. It's a celebration. It is an opportunity for us to just say, thank you, Lord, for strengthening us and for spurring us on and for encouraging us. So yeah, deacons, this is emblematic. They're being appointed. Hallelujah. We're being appointed. We're being charged. We're being moved on and called further into our roles. And it says, Eric pointed out, Acts 6, verse 7, after the laying on of hands on the deacons, it says, the word of God continued to increase and the number of disciples multiplied greatly. So I want to draw our attention to the connection between love and gospel growth. There's a connection between that. Do you see that? Jesus said back in John in his farewell discourse to his disciples, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for each other. So our love for each other leads to more people knowing and following Jesus. Again, I just feel like, well, this is so basic. Love Pat's charge. It's so basic. It's so simple. Can we stay? Remember when Donnie and Jill were here and Jill was like, here's my secret. Love Jesus and love each other. That's what we're trying to do. Our love for each other leads to more people knowing. And Donnie was pointing out, the fields are white with harvest. Remember last week walking through John 4 and as the Samaritan village was coming through those fields, like there was a real visual. I think there's something like that happening now. It feels like there's an inflection point for us as a church. And it's not just, oh, we're poised for growth. I don't know what that's going to look like. But I do know the opportunity, the door is open. And we want to push it open. And we want to open our hearts more. And we want to open our eyes more and open our ears more to listen better, to love more, to lean in. And what is it going to cost? I'll talk about that in just a moment. But here's what I want to really urge. Eric was saying, we need to be one. Part of the deacon's appointment is to help us as elders, but it's also to help each of us. And I love that the scripture in Corinthians 16, just be subject to a fellow workers, subject to one another, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Amen. So I want to urge us here, another piece of scripture that in the same vein, to be intentional. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we actually went through this a number of years ago. If you're really committed, you can go back and look up the messages. But it's 1 Thessalonians 4, it says this, finally then, brothers and sisters, we ask and urge you, love that word, urge you in the Lord Jesus, that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. That is intentional language. And then later in the same chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, it says, now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, there's the urge again, brothers and sisters, do this more and more. Amen. So here's my call to us, all of us, not just you deacons, all of us. Can we be intentional? Can we be intentional with urgency in these things? To do them more and more, to love one another more and more, to lean in more and more. How intentional is a young man like Joe Somerville? If you know Joe, the answer is without hesitation, very, very intentional. I've gotten the privilege to get to know Joe more because we've been meeting quite a bit over the last few months. And I've known him a little bit even before that, but here is a young man who is diligent in his work. He's diligent in his profession. He's intentional about how he spends his time and cultivating relationships and looking for ways to serve young adults and otherwise. Can I just encourage you, particularly in the young adults, this is a man who is an example. And that's not to elevate Joe and say everyone else needs to. This isn't about hierarchy, like Eric was saying. This is about, man, guys, lean in and be intentional with one another. We should be inspiring and provoking and spurring one another on in every way all the time. Does that, more and more, exactly. More and more and more. Joe, you're a more and more guy. You're an intentional guy. So thank you for that. And thank you for being willing to serve us as a church in that capacity. I'm looking forward to the more fruit coming. Jacob and Jesse. Oh my goodness. You guys. Again, we talked about where we could sprinkle in examples here. It's just hard to be intentional and urgent. Hello. Like, again, anybody know the Lewises is like, I don't know anybody who's more intentional. Jacob's constantly like, hey, when can you come over so we can play some more games and invite more people in? And I'll by the way, cook like a bazillion pounds of great meat. just always hospitable, always opening your home. But they have specifically served and at great length served this church, particularly in children's ministry and leading children's ministry. Guys, even in the middle of COVID, when things were crazy, and I know it's like, it's a foggy memory, and thank God for that. Man, like, let's just go back there for just a second and how discouraging it was, particularly for parents of young kids. And these guys went out of their way to figure out, how can we serve? How can we still serve in the middle of this? There are things we can do. Yeah, we can't have kids meeting in our rooms right now. What can we do? Models, examples, urgent, intentional. And they do it because they love us. They do it because they love the Lord. So guys, I just want to commend you for that, but also to put wind in yourselves and to spur all of us on. Can we be like that too? So let me move on. I want us to be intentional. I want to challenge each of us in light of the deacons being appointed to these roles and raising their hands and saying, yes, we're going to serve. Yes, we're going to step in. Can we be intentional? And then secondly, can we be devoted? Now, I won't repeat the verses, but again, Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, and the prayer. Let me ask you this question. Is the church, I don't mean a building, is the church worthy of your gifting, your strength, your time, and your effort? Don't answer quickly. Is it? See, it's not incidental that we're doing this as we've been talking about open doors and being on mission together and sharing the gospel is just an inextricable part of our lives. That's what this is about. It's about giving our lives away in service. It's about being devoted. You know, Donnie was saying, you're on mission to Africa. Are you on mission to your grocery store? Are you on mission to your small group? Well, that dovetails right into my next example. Because I can tell you, Frank and Sue Robb are on mission to Africa. And they're on mission to the grocery store and their small group. Like, I just can't even make this up. You guys have been, for decades, have been faithfully serving, reaching out, establishing, going so far as to establish an organization that didn't previously exist with many others' help. I'm not just, I totally recognize this is the Lord's work. But I'm telling you, guys, it is beyond an honor and privilege to have someone like this, the people like this, part of us and spurring us on and serving us and setting an example. I hope when I reach your ages that I am like you. I mean that completely. So Frank and Sue, they run TCI, but then the Ministry of the Grocery Store in the local. Frank sits on the board of Love Inc. We've talked about Love Inc. before. That's local outreach right here, right in the back door. They're very involved in our prayer, small group ministry, cultivating that. Again, people who are giving away their lives in service. I don't know if Eric mentioned, but one of the things that we're going to be asking the deacons to do as well is to help us we're really entrusting a significant component of what does it look like for us to manage benevolence and be engaged community-wise, love ink and otherwise. So we're really anticipating the Lord to meet us there. So I must conclude. Be intentional, be devoted, and I think related to the be devoted, I just want to call this out in particular. Can I invite you to spend yourself, because this is going to set up Eric for his last bit here. Can I invite you to spend yourself? Here's the scripture. 2 Corinthians 12:15, and Paul is speaking to the church in Thessalonians. Guys, this is my heart for you. This is our heart for you. I think it's the deacon's heart for you. It should be a heart for one another. Listen to these words. I will most gladly spend and be spent for your souls. Can we say that about one another? Can we be so devoted that that is our hearts? And it's not about hierarchy. It's not about because I have this position. It's not because you have to do this or do that. No, it's because that's what Jesus did for us. He spent his very blood, Acts 20:28, the church that he obtained by his own blood. He held nothing back. No time, no money, no attention, no affection was too great that he didn't spend it. So that is what we are called to do. It is intentional. It is devoted and willing to spend time, money, resources, attention, affection, everything in us. Can I just encourage us in the most strong words I can come up with from scripture and from the examples that we see in the stories of the lives of the deacons that we've just appointed? Can we be more like this? Can we? Can we? Eric, come finish.
Oh, so good, Trev. That makes me want to worship. And we will. And we will. We are going to take communion today, but not before we just talk about a few final bits. First of all, some dates. We are a church on the move. As we have been announcing, we are going to again move, location move, that is. So on Sunday, May 19th, that is our last Sunday here at Montgomery College. All right. Now, we've been saying, and TBD, we'll let you know. And so we hadn't come up with, we were kind of trying to see if we could meet at the new property. That's not going to be possible yet. The following weekend is Memorial Day weekend, so we're going to have a picnic. Where that's going to be, we'll tell you. After that, we're going to resume normal services on June 2nd. That is going to be at Waters Landing Elementary in Germantown. We're going back to an elementary school. Can I get an amen? Yes! So much excitement and enthusiasm. After we came here, one of our most faithful said, "We can't go back to an elementary school." Oh, but we can! It's so exciting! Folding chairs and all. I know, everybody's like, "Wah." Enjoy these for the next few weeks. Yes, AJ, I love it. We're going to need help because we now have to set up chairs again. It probably will be through the summer, and then there's a possibility that we return back to Montgomery College like at the end of summer. This building's actually going under construction, and so we can't be here. But when school starts again, there is a possibility. I'm glad I'm seeing people with their camera, with their phones out to take a picture of this. We will send this, of course, in the newsletters, et cetera. And then this is where it actually gets kind of cool. We are hoping, do not quote me on this, don't quote Jim Sr. on this, but we're hoping that early next year, maybe January of 2025, we will be in the new building. We will move into Price's Distillery. If anybody knows how construction schedules go, you know. This is subject to change, but this is our prayer and our hope. And so it's exciting, and most of you are aware that the considerable funds to buy this property was donated by a couple in the church, Peter and Glenda Hazer. Incredible, incredible gift that we were given. We would not have been otherwise able to buy this land. We were looking for something to rent, but they said, we want to help you to buy. To own something like this is incredible for a church our age and size. The amazing thing is, not only do we have 30 acres of land in Montgomery County, but that land has four buildings on it for us to use as a church. They just require some work. Okay, what do we have here? Let's go for this one. So we purchased property. Go back. Yep. We purchased property for $2 million. Amazing. Bit of a head start. Wow. Yes. Jaw. Now you can. That's incredible. Incredible. Now, that bought us. Go to the next one. Basically, that's it. From this road to that road, like, almost till the trees back there, that's what we own. 30 acres. Some of you have been there. How we own this is inexplicable. And so these buildings, I mean, that little dot in the middle there, that's where our buildings are. That's where these four buildings are. Let's go to the next one. So this is one of them. You guys, we've had prayer yesterday, last month, a couple weeks ago. We had the men's breakfast yesterday. Josh preached so well. Josh, brother. We'll see the next one. This is just some more of the buildings. And this is just, this is elemental stuff, but I want to just, for those who haven't been on the property, just show this to you. Because if we had just bought property, it would be years before we could do anything. But there's a possibility, because there are buildings on it, to do more. Now we, here though, is where we all come in. This is where we all are going to jump in, and I'm trusting that God is not only going to move so that we get this done, but actually as we engage God in our finances, there are stories other than just there's buildings going up, there's construction being done. And this is where I want to call all of us. We've got a huge head start. I want to look at, what's the next picture? Okay, so this is like a little bit of vision stuff. I don't know what it's going to look like. But imagine these buildings starting to get transformed. Celeste sent 50 pictures to the architect of what she liked and what we were liking. Jonah Lee and Heather put their heads together, sent them 50 pictures. Let's see the next one. Just like, can you imagine just taking those dingy old buildings and I don't know what it's going to look like. Don't hold me to this. But this is just to sort of sprinkle some vision. Like, this is what it is that we're doing. This is what we're trusting for. This is what we're excited about. And I want to invite you into that. But here's the deal. So we have this amazing property, but now, and then we also have, you can go to the next one, go all the way to the next one there, Rebecca. Construction funds we have. Our little church has already been able to raise $750,000. Whoa, is right. Yeah, it's incredible. Part of that was, yeah. At the time of the members meeting, we had about $500,000. We've actually had another like $250,000 come in as a large contribution that we're committing to this. But it's going to take about $1.5 million to do what we want to do to this property. Everybody gulp with me. Yeah. And yet God, we trust God is going to do it. I'm not sitting here nervously going, how do I twist their arms? How do we shake each other upside down? No. Actually, it is by faith that we've already gotten this far. He's not going to leave us, but I want to invite you into it. Won't you give? Won't you invest? And let me say this. A lot of people will be like, oh, it's easy to raise money for a building because there's kind of a what's in it for me, you know? Like, I'll have a nice, comfortable chair again. I won't be sitting on folding chair. It's so much bigger than that. What we're doing here is for the future of this church. This thing, I trust, will outlive everybody in this room. Won't you invest in something that goes well beyond? We're investing for them. Those kids that are sitting there just unaware, we are preparing a place for them to continue to carry the work of the gospel and its proclamation in advance forward. Like, come on, can we get behind that? I want to pause here, and if you've been counting, the only people we haven't mentioned are Jim and Patty. I mean, what an incredible couple. The super cool thing is, for those of you who know and have been around the whole time, The initial meetings of Monument Church were in their living room. And now, and they continue to open their house. I mean, Patty is a wizard from a hospitality point of view. I call her, Patty, can we do it at your place? And I've had to learn what that means. She's going to go all out. I'm just like, will you open the door and let us in? And she's like, no. It doesn't stop there. And they just host so beautifully and serve in kids ministry and set up and tear down. I mean, there's nothing they won't do. And now Jim, a considerable project manager, is going to be guiding us in this journey. I mean, it's one thing to get the property. It's one thing to have the funds, but then to have a gift like Jim and Patty to be doing what they're doing. I mean, it's just, man, Lord, you have been far too kind. He is investing his time and energy and money knowing them. And I just want to call us to do likewise. I'll end with this, and it's 2 Corinthians 9. When Paul is calling the Corinthians to give. And I love how he does it, because you don't know if he's coming or going. On the one hand, he's strong about it. And then the other hand, he just kind of backs off. He says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Man, that makes you sit up straight in your chair, right? Then he says, but each one must give as he has decided in his heart. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Has he been providing for you for seed to sow? Because actually, Paul goes on to say, and then he'll keep giving you. He'll keep actually providing for you so you can continue to give more. I love that. There is this incredible dynamic when we mingle our finances with his. We invest in this. We're already multiplying greatly what it is that he is doing. And so I want to invite us into that, not out of compulsion, but actually cheerfully. But I want to call us into it like Paul does. Because actually we don't do anything without knowing that it's because of God's love that he first poured out upon us. We respond to his generosity by being generous. When we talk about giving, we're doing it in light of his giving. Jesus paved the way. Let's follow him. Let's follow him in this and trust him. Do you see God as your provider? But also your provider of further generosity. I know sometimes when my wife and I have these discussions, I get really faith-filled, and I like have a number in my mind. I'm like, all right, we're gonna give this. She's gonna be blown away. And then I'm thinking, what's your number? And it's twice the size of my number. And I'm like, crud. Whatever you've decided in your heart, let's risk, let's step out, let's trust God to build this thing. All right, we're gonna go into communion. I just want to read this one. This is an unusual communion verse, but it was one that Lucinda also gave, and it was this Ephesians 2, 20 through 21. It says, in him the whole building is joined together, even as Pat was talking about these bricks, and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Let's take communion in light of that. And whatever it is, whatever he's gotten your attention in that he's drawing you into, can I just continue to welcome you? Go to him. Ask him, whether it's your time, your energy, your money. On the website, we now have a fund, Home Base Fund. We've called this our home base because it is not our final resting place. It is a launch pad from which we are going to plant other churches and do ministry all into the area. So go on there. We also, you know, have a box at the info table if you want to provide checks there or cash. But whatever it is, go to him, decide in your heart. And let's do this in light of communion, the sacrifice and generosity of Jesus Christ on the cross.